A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone.
Turn it up.
The Aggies look to become bowl eligible as they square off against San Jose State this Saturday in Logan. Your home for the play-by-play action of Aggie football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You're listening to Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for making us part of your day. As the Cougar Preview Show rolls on, our good friend Will Snowden's going to join us coming up here in a moment. We'll also chat with Jay Schrader, longtime NFL quarterback, now color analyst with Rod Zundel on the Utah Tech broadcast.
Lloyd, just let us know when you got him, and we'll jump out to him. Will Snowden is going to be here in just a minute, so we're excited to have him on as well and talk about some of these potential outgoing seniors and juniors that BYU is going to be announcing this weekend at this game. You know, we've talked a lot about how negative things got through a four-game losing streak. Scotty, in your assessment, how good was the Boise State win?
Pretty good.
It's a pretty good win,
pretty
right?
Pretty good, yeah.
It's Boise, enough that it put a fire hose on a lot of the fires that were going on, I'm sure.
I think overall the Mountain West is a little down this year. I don't think it's as good as it has been in the past. And so you look at Boise State like, oh, wow, they're undefeated in conference play. Yeah, but Boise's also did not win. I think they went winless in non-conference games this year. And so, Boise's going to end up winning that division. And probably, well, I don't know, they're going to play Fresno again, and Fresno's got their quarterback back, so they'll probably play Fresno for the Mountain West Conference Championship game, and that could be a very good game, but Boise's not as good as Boise's been in the past.
They went winless in non-conference against FBS.
Okay, they got an FCS game in there.
They lost to UTEP, they lost to Oregon State, and they lost to BYU, but they did have an FCS. They had a UT Martin in there.
Okay, all right.
But, yeah, absolutely great point. Now, they did come out of that BYU loss and whoop Nevada 41-3.
Yeah, Nevada's awful.
But that's a bad team.
Yeah. And you'll learn a little bit more about Boise when they play in that Mountain West Conference Championship game. Well, actually, they've got to go to Laramie
this week.
And that's going to be a big game because if Wyoming wins, then Wyoming will probably be your division winner because that'll give Boise one loss and then Wyoming will have the tiebreaker. So that's going to be a big one in Laramie. Well, although I'm not really sold on Wyoming.
BYU did some things in that game that I liked. Number one, Jaren Hall looked more like Jaren Hall than he'd looked through that four-game streak. And I think that Jaren Hall has gone through more than what meets the eye. Now, that's typical with a lot of players throughout the year. I think a lot of guys go through things and they just grit their teeth and they try not to make excuses and they just go out there and play. And I think that Jaren Hall did that to a large extent. I think Jaren Hall just gritted his teeth and bared it and went through some really tough games and then felt better against Boise State because Jaren Hall was your leading rusher in that game with 82 yards and he went for 377 through the air. He looked more like Jaren Hall. So that's indicator number one. I will tell you that the running back situation worries me when you face Stanford and maybe when you head into a bowl game. a lot of us thought Chris Brooks was going to be that guy, and I know Chris Brooks is going through some things too. But Chris Brooks never surfaced as that guy.
No. Nope.
And Lopina Katoa did what he could against Boise State, 12 carries for 46 yards, and he did what he could. But that running back room needs a complete remodel. Jackson McChesney couldn't stay healthy, and that was a heartbreaker. So you end up with this Hinkley Rapati, who does great in the screen game and has a couple carries that at least piques your interest. So I'm just glad BYU was able to extinguish some of the negativity that had built up on them through a four-game losing streak by beating Boise State.
Well, joining us now, longtime NFL quarterback and color analyst for the Utah Tech broadcast with Rod Zundel, it is Jay Schrader, kind enough to join us. Jay, how are you?
Hey, Jay.
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing well. Doing well. Talk us through this last three-game winning streak. I know you're getting really good play at quarterback over this last three-game stretch. Is that one of the reasons why you feel like Utah Tech's been able to string three together here?
Oh, there's no question about it. You know, they run the spread and shred offense, so you've got to have a quarterback that protects the football, takes care of it, takes the shots down the field. That's what they like to do. But it's also got to be protective, and that's what Victor's done the last few weeks, and it's been very successful, no question.
Has there been anything else through this three-game winning streak? Did somebody else get back healthy? Has there been any other kind of infusion of talent in through this three-game winning streak?
There really hasn't been any infusion of talent. The bottom line is, early in the year, they would make costly penalties at horrible times. You know, that would take away big plays or cost them big yardage at certain times. They're just playing smarter, better football. That's really what it comes down to. And it's really proven when, you know, they're not playing behind the chains anymore. Early in the season, they were always behind the chains. Now, you know, they're in front of it, and they're taking some shots, and it's fun to watch, and it's tough to stop, I can tell you that.
Is it Gabalis, Victor Gabalis, or Gabalis?
Victor Gabalis is the quarterback.
Okay.
The last couple of weeks, they've had, you know, big play out of receivers, couple of different receivers. The run game has been phenomenal, okay? Kwali Conley has been exceptional in the run game. So they put it all together, and they're playing some good football right now.
So as a guy who played that position and played it at a really high level, all of a sudden he turns it on over the last three games. He's got nearly, you know, over 1,100 yards, 12 touchdowns, only one interception. Does, as a quarterback, does it suddenly just kind of click or the game slows down? What do you think the element to it, to his game, to being able to play at such a high level right now?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I think he's come in right now after, you know, he had some early season difficulties, no question about it. And I think he was struggling. I think he was pressing. I think early in the season he was trying too hard to make the big play in this instead of letting the game come to him. The game has come to him, and it definitely has slowed down. He's made better decisions. He's thrown the ball away on occasion when he has to. So it's just a matter of overall better quarterback play. And as I said, when you run the spread and shred offense, man, you got to have a quarterback that, you know, is going to be protective of that football, because they're throwing it a bunch. There's no question about it.
Jay, how do you think this team feels about coming to LaVell Edwards Stadium to take on the BYU Cougars?
I think they're totally excited. You know, I really do. I think the Cougars present a whole nother challenge. It's a D1 program that has been established that everybody knows, you know, from around here and all that. But you got a bunch of guys that weren't maybe recruited or thought of as D1 players, and now they get a chance to go play. And they're playing good football. They're excited about it. I think they're going to be excited about coming up to Provo and playing.
You feel like something's brewing down there, that now that you got the quarterback situation settled, that this team could really build something special going into next year?
I think so, yeah. And, you know, they're so young in this Division I process. I think they're doing very well. And it's hard when you lose, and you lose, you know, dumb ways by making your own mistakes. And they've gotten out of their own way. They're starting to make make plays. Guys are doing things that, you know, are fun to watch. And there's some pretty good athletes down there, no question about it. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see them, you know, rise up to the challenge to play BYU. It's no question.
So, Jay, how are you feeling about the Las Vegas Raiders and what's going on right now with their coaching situation, everything?
You know, look, super disappointed, okay? The guys that are supposed to be making plays and playing better are just not doing it. Everybody that, you know, you counted on, you looked over the last couple of years that had some big years, other than Max Crosby, nobody's doing anything exceptional. And that's the problem. You know, you expect these guys to play at a high level. They're NFL players for a reason. They're playing good football. They're just not playing great football, okay? And, you know, they have to be able to play great football. There's too much talent in that league to be okay. And right now they're just being okay, and they're getting beat. And it's not acceptable.
Well, I'm not going to lie. When, you know, we're big fans of Rod Sundel, and when Zippy got that job down there at Utah Tech, and then we see that Jay Schrader's his color analyst, we're like, whoa, the NFL quarterback. How did you end up in St. George?
I lived in St. George from 2005 to 2010. Then I went back to California for a couple of years, and I came back for a year or two. Now I'm living full-time in Vegas. In the course of that time, I've run into Rod and all the guys doing different events. And I've always told Rod, I said, hey, look, I said, if you ever get a gig where you need somebody to come help you or anything else, let me know. And he got the gig there at Utah Tech, and he called me. He's like, hey, you want to come up? I said, absolutely. So I make the trek up every week, and it's been a lot of fun. It's been fun working with Zippy.
Jay Schrader joining us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, so just because we're, you know, we're the three of us, including Lloyd back in studio, we're all about the same age, which means that our NFL experience was the 80s and 90s as kids when we really latched onto the sport. So we got to ask you, just what was it like playing with Bo Jackson?
I'm older than all of you. I'm older than all of you, but what was it like playing with Bo?
Yeah, we got to ask.
Bo was the best athlete I've ever seen in my life, okay? And I played against Dion. But Bo was 235. Bo could do whatever he wanted to do, whenever he wanted to do. You know, we used to run the old student body sweep. And when I first got to the Raiders, they said, hey, we got a play that's called Bo Reverse Left. And I'm like, okay. It was basically student body right. Everybody went right. Everybody pulled right. And the premise of the play was Bo's going to take three steps to the right, reverse pivot. We've all seen the play. And then he runs left. And I'm looking at the play going, that's never going to work. There's nobody blocking for him. And I went, and we ran it a couple of times. I went, oh, that's why it works, because that's Bo running the ball. And nobody can catch him. So, you know, he was just that good of athlete. He was like the best kid on Pop Warner team when you couldn't catch him. Except he was on the pro level doing it against pro athletes.
What was the dynamic like of having him and Marcus Allen on the same team together?
It was a dynamic. The only problem I had is at the time, you know, Al Davis wanted to throw the ball down the field, and I couldn't throw it to those guys out of the backfield very much. You know, I was taught to throw it way down the field. I'm like, I got these two guys, you know, and Mike Shanahan, when I first got traded there, Mike was the coach. And I will tell you this, you're in practice, and the DBs, everybody's playing three deep, staying way back, and I'm dumping the ball to the back, and I'm thinking, man, I got Bo, I got Marcus, this is going to be a lot of fun, everything else. Al stops practice, and, you know, he's like, what the hell are we doing? He says, you cannot throw to the backs anymore. You got to throw the ball down the field. And Mike Shanahan and I looked at each other like, uh-oh. that was the start of the demise of Mike Shanahan right there, because philosophies just didn't match up with Al.
So Al Davis would actually step in and stop practice then?
Well, yeah. And here's the thing, you know, don't misconstrue that. Al was a coach. Remember? Al coached. Al knows football.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a football guy. He is a football guy that became a coach. He's not a business guy that tried to run a team. He was a football guy. He knew what he was talking about. And he wanted the game to play a certain way. And he told me, he says, look, he says, you're going to take 10 shots down the field. But if you connect on three, we score 21 points. Our defense will hold them. We'll win. That was his philosophy. He could have cared less if I went 3 for 10. If those three were 60, 70-yard plays for touchdowns, he'd be happy.
Well, Jay, Scotty and I, we've done our thing. Lloyd Cole is the actual Raiders fan here on the station. We promised Lloyd that he could slip in a question. Lloyd's our producer, and he does an amazing job, and he's all about the Raiders. Lloyd, what do you got for Jay, man?
Jay, first of all, welcome to my show. I really appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for joining. To be honest with you, I told these guys, I wasn't kidding. Like your time period. I became a Raiders fan probably about 86, about at the age of six. And I'm talking Swervin, Mervin Fernandez, Bo Jackson, Marcus Allen, you know, Greg Townsend. You got Tim Brown at his rookie year. I just saw
Mervin Sunday at the game.
Yeah. So like, I grew up like that, like for some weird reason, like that time frame of like between 88 and 92. I have to mention Howie Long because, you know, the guy was a legend, but that, so that time frame, that time frame sits in my mind more than any other probably time frame as a Raiders fan for some weird reason. And there's been some hard times, but my question really was going to be, you know, one, Scotty asked the question about the dynamic of Bo Jackson and Marcus Allen. That was one of my questions really, but what was it like to play for Al Davis? The whole Raiders, you know, what attracted me to the Raiders was that, you know, they were the bad boys of the league, you know, the misfits. Like it was something something amazing. What was it that was different about the Raiders versus like other places you play, like Washington or, you know, Arizona or the Bengals? What was different? What made, you know, playing for the Raiders so special and Al Davis?
Number one, you're playing for a guy that knew football. So he actually understood the game, knew the game. He also loved his players. Okay. He took care of his players. No doubt about it. He was a player's owner and everything else. He did everything possible to make the players comfortable and the number one priority. And he also was like, look, get it done on Sundays. Period. The slogan, just win, baby, just win. Get it done. You know, during the week, let's figure out what we got to do and this, that, and everything else. But get it done on Sundays. He was all about winning on Sundays. And you got no problem with it. That's your job. Go out, win the game on Sunday.
So, and one last thing, because I've cursed my son with being a Raiders fan. He's about to be 8 years old, and I asked him I said, hey, I'm going to have Jay Schrader on the show today. You got something you want me to ask him? And he says, what do they need to do to actually become a good team again? That's essentially what his question was. So what do they need to do, Jay, to get to start winning, to just winning again?
Well, they need to get back to, you know, running the football, play action, and just making plays. Their superstars need to play like superstars, and once they do that, everything will work out. But right now, they're just not doing that.
Well, Jay, we appreciate your time. Enjoy your time up in Provo. Should be a fun one against BYU, and look forward to catching up with you again here soon.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
you got it. Jay Schrader. Right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We need Lloyd to just do a Lloyd and Jay podcast.
I like that.
Get a Raiders podcast going. Lloyd, you got his number, man.
Hey, you know what? To be honest with you, I actually thought about doing starting a little podcast with Xavier, like called Raiders and Sons. Just him and I just breaking down the Raiders.
I wish I could take a picture of Will Snowden's face when Lloyd said that.
I will.
Gentlemen.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm excited.
Do you have any memories of Jay Schrader?
Big time memories. So actually, I lived in Washington, D.C. when Jay Schrader took over.
With the Redskins?
With the Redskins.
No kidding.
Yeah, crazy. So, you know, I wasn't the biggest Jay fan, but when I was there, because at the time, what happened is when I lived in D.C., the Washington won the Super Bowl. Uh-huh. And they beat the Broncos.
Yeah.
And I had moved there from I had moved to – at that first year I was there, I had moved there from Colorado, big Denver Broncos fan, and took a beating.
Well,
and they took a bad beating that Super Bowl, if you recall. It was very bad.
You know, I was actually my son and I were watching old Super Bowls, and he's like, I want to watch some of these old – you know, I'm like, you don't want to watch this one. But we were watching that Super Bowl, and a lot of people forget that the Doug Williams actually went down with an injury and looked like it was a pretty significant injury too. And Jay Schrader came in and got sacked and threw an incomplete. And at the time, I remember as a kid thinking, like, all right, we're going to win this thing. We're up 10-0, you know. The quarterback's out. And then all of a sudden, the second quarter happened. And
it was a disaster.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Yeah, so I grew up a big John Elway fan. My brother actually
was smart.
Grew up an Elway fan, and you know, so that was, so. But Jay was an exciting player, obviously, and it seems like an exceptional dude.
He seems like a great dude. He's the analyst now for Utah Tech that BYU's taking on. Will help us get excited for this game.
Well, I'm excited.
I know you're excited because you know a lot of the guys that are on the Utah Tech team.
Yeah, I'm really excited for Utah Tech, and I'm excited for Brigham. I mean, every time you get to have a senior day, it's exciting, you know, and it looks like we have
Except for ours.
BYU has a lot of seniors going out there this week.
We didn't have a senior day.
Yes, we did. You got your blanket.
They threw the blanket at us on the way out, and it was Lavelle's day, and that's fine.
Oh, you didn't want to share time with Lavelle.
Do you see what's happening?
It was Lavelle's day, and that's all that matters.
Okay, but all that matters for the listeners, you guys just heard it.
Will, I'm not. I'm just saying.
He's still stinky about it.
I remember feeling the blanket hit me in the back of the head as I was walking.
We walked across the stage, and I mean, it was good, but it was a day for Lavelle, as it should.
So you guys had the same senior day then?
100%. Same senior day. Okay. Yeah, we came in together, left together.
All 5 years,
all 5 years together.
Will put up with me.
And it was a lot to put up with, as you all know. But. Yeah.
Don't say, oh, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I think we got tame hands, like nice hands. Like, I don't know if 96 Scott and 96 hands would have gotten along very well.
No, you wouldn't have been. What happened is you can imagine who you owe his behavior to. This guy was a wild dog.
That horse wanted to run.
He was running. He was. I mean, it was. It's like a pit bull rolling around the
sausage factory.
Yeah. He was just something else. But Amanda has done an exceptional job of training him and helping him understand how to actually go places and not make a spectacle. It was a spectacle everywhere I went with this guy.
Yeah, but we had fun.
We did have a lot of fun.
We had a good time.
We're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray. You come on down. Rich is ready to help you out. 4528 South State Street, low financing. You have the forever warranty, and that thing's not going away anytime soon either.
No, we've had it. This is going on just over 3 years now.
Yep.
And it's been a huge success for the Tim Daly family and for all of our clients that have bought those cars and are riding around right now with maybe over 100,000 miles on their car with a beautiful warranty for as long as they own it.
It's just peace of mind, and you give that away for free.
And we give it away for free. And, you know, these are cars that you get for your kids. They go up to school. They got a problem up there. Wherever they're going to school, they take it to the local shop. They get it fixed.
Yeah. I mean, that's
under warranty.
It's incredible. And so that is – and that's not just your new vehicles. That's about 95% of your used inventory on stock, too.
Yeah, and we keep 250 used cars here. Almost all of them qualify for that warranty. And it's just a matter of the Zone Sports listeners coming down here and picking the car out and getting something for the holidays.
If you're dealing with credit issues or you're upside down or whatever and you feel like there's no way these guys can help me out, that's not the case here.
We are experts in people that have a hill to climb.
Yep.
We're like the Marines, you know?
Yeah.
When you guys send the Marines in to take care of some business.
Semper Fi,
okay,
man.
Semper Fi. You got some business to take care of. You send us in. You just come see us, and we take care of the business. We climb the hill for you.
I love it.
And then put you in a new car.
4528 South State Street. Rich is here to help you out, get you squared away, and no payments until January if you want. It's all right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Game week for the Cougars, and the Zone is getting you ready for kickoff.
Ask-
After a much-needed bye week, the Cougars return home for the final home game of the season against Utah Tech. Listen all week long for the best coverage of Cougar football, as well as your chance to win tickets. Then catch the Cougar pregame this Saturday, presented by Zions Bank, followed by the postgame show immediately following the game. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, your home for the best coverage of Cougar football is right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone.
Turn it up!
It doesn't get much better than this. Utah versus Oregon and Eugene with a spot in the Pac-12 title game on the line. Your home for the best coverage of Utah football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You're listening to Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You got to know us. You just got to know us, Scotty. You don't usually see that side of us.
Cougar Nation. Cougar Nation. Let's talk about it.
Let's start with this, because this is the big storyline. Why is Kalani Sitake celebrating 27 juniors, 24 juniors?
Well, you know, as you look at that, a lot of things you come to my head when I see them roll out that list. Looked at it several times this week, and I really believe that in today's game, Hans, it's not like when we played. Guys are, there's other opportunities. There's changes that maybe BYU's trying to make with the roster, and some of these players are probably deciding, am I going to come back? Am I welcome back? Is there a plan for me next year, or am I better off graduating, starting in the real world, or am I better off maybe hopping into the portal or transferring, being a grad transfer, getting more opportunities to play? So that's what I think.
I think it'd be funny if one of these kids is he's signing up for spring semester and all that stuff, and they're Kalani goes, "Hey, by the way, we're going to celebrate you at after the game." He's like, "Why?" I know. I think we should be celebrating you and what you've done here at BYU.
Listen, guys,
I still have another year left. That COVID thing. No, we're going to celebrate you.
It's going to be a huge celebration.
Yeah. Get you going.
Yeah, listen,
get you on your way.
Stop, gentlemen. I mean, Kalani is a stand-up guy. And I'm sure that inside of these meetings, all of these players had plans. I look at Mason Wake. I mean, he's played a long time. He's been effective. He's had good film. He's probably ready to move on and maybe play. You take a shot at the next level. A lot of these guys.
So you bring up Mason Wake or really any of these guys. Is this to Scotty's point? Is this BYU just simply saying to all of them, we're going to celebrate you? Or is this, because with Kyle Whittingham, I believe it was the players that ignited kind of the conversation of we might or we might not come back. Because that's kind of what Kyle mentioned. Is this a...
And we talked to Blake yesterday, and Blake said, we got one guy who's wants to just shut it down and be done with his career. We'll celebrate him, but everybody else right now has signified that they're coming back, and that's what the plan is.
Other than that, didn't celebrate anybody else.
No.
It was just that. Talking about the underclassmen.
Yeah.
So, Will, is this guys kind of mentioning to Kalani, or is Kalani just celebrating everybody that could potentially be done with their...
That's what's happening. Everyone, because what would be terrible is, let's say some of these guys on this list decide not to come back, and they got no celebration. They didn't get their blanket. They didn't get they didn't get to be honored in front of the fans. So that's what I think it is. I do think you'll see a lot of these guys move on this list. There's a reason they're on the list, either because of the coaches would like them on the list or they would like to be on that list. So they're undecided. So that's really what I do think this is all about. It's a lot to do about nothing. I mean, at the end of the day.
You think a lot of these guys will be back?
I think a good amount of them will be back and a good amount of them won't.
Let's start with Jaren Hall, because I think that's the most important.
Jaren Hall will not be back.
So we could be looking at a state without Cam Rising and Jaren Hall next year.
Cam Rising will be back.
Whoa. You think so?
Yes.
You think Cam will be?
I think Cam will be back for sure.
But you don't think Jaren will be?
I do not think Jaren will.
So is that an NFL thing?
It's an NFL thing. I think that one of the things is both of those quarterbacks are doing okay here in the state with NIL. They're big names, good-looking guys, you know, good personalities.
I've seen them on endorsements.
Yeah, they're doing well. Yeah. They're doing really well. And but at the end of the day, Jaren is much older than Cam. Right, Jaren is what, 25 now, I think, 24.
He is an RM.
Yeah, he's a returned missionary. He's been there for, I think he's 24, 25 years old. He has a family. He's going to have a draft grade, a good draft grade. And I think it makes sense. I think he's ready to move on, and it's time for someone else to take the reins at quarterback at BYU.
Is it Conover?
I think that you'll see Conover will lead the way in spring ball, and I expect to see some grad transfers or portal guys, at least one quarterback come in, and then you have the young quarterback from Springville that will join them. I think he's an early grad as well, so I think that Ryder Burton will be in competing for spring ball. Also, they have back we got a return missionary back that
– at a receiver?
No, quarterback.
Quarterback.
And so I think that we're going to be BYU's going to be in a good position at quarterback, but it's young and there's going to be a lot of questions.
So it feels like offensively things haven't felt as unstable, not even through the 4-game losing streak. Didn't feel like the offense was the big issue. It felt like the defense was the big issue. How much unrest do you feel like there is on that side of the ball? Because, you know, you got Max Tooley on here. You got Peyton Wilgar on here.
Peyton's got eligibility, right?
Both of those guys.
Yeah.
Max Tooley and Peyton Wilgar both have.
You think they're both back, Will?
I think that Tooley has a really good chance of coming back. I don't expect to see Peyton back. I think that he'll be in the portal and making some different moves.
You know, it's tough because you look at the defensive side of the ball, Will, and it feels like that's where most of the unrest was, and it feels like that's where a lot of the difficulty was. And then we saw some moves. You know, Kalani announced those moves. How significant were those moves, and how much do you think that played into them beating Boise State?
I think, obviously, whenever the head man gets involved as aggressively as Kalani has, it's going to make a difference. For Boise, he was really aggressive. I think it started with Liberty. I think that's when Kalani started really putting his foot back in the defensive room. And it takes a while for him to be able to identify what's really the best way to call the game, the flow of the game, where his guys are going to succeed the most. And I think it took him a couple games, and now he has things. You can tell he seems a little bit more confident.
Liberty game must have been a shock. Liberty put up, what, 40?
41. 41-14.
Shock.
When that happens to you, obviously it's not the easiest thing to deal with. And I think the Kalani is, I think it's been good for him to get involved on this level, because then it puts him in a situation where he really knows where he feels like things need to get better. As a head man, you spend a lot of time talking to guys like us, right? Guys like you guys, really, managing a lot of different things, not really in the defensive room, not able to spend as much time on film as you probably would like to. And I think that now that that has happened, Kalani has become, I think that he's going to make a lot of changes that will be good for the program.
You think what you feel like or what you see is going to be good?
Yes, what I feel like things are going to – I think, you know, I believe in Kalani Sitake. It's going to get better. It's going to be a process, though. And people just have to understand that. I mean, you're moving into the Big 12, right? These schools are – all of the schools are used to playing each other. And Brigham Young is not used to playing any of them. Hey. So there's going to be some growing pains, but Kalani's been there and he's done it. And he's going to do the best he can to have those guys ready to go.
You don't – I mean, I'll just say this. I mean, I'll be the bad guy here. Utah, that first year in the Pac-12, they went, 8-4 or something like that. They actually had a pretty good record that first year. And then they had the 2-5-7s back to back.
Yeah, they lost to Colorado.
Yeah, that would have put
an inaugural year that would have put them in the
Pac-12 championship game.
Because USC was ineligible, I believe.
So I think if BYU next year is 5-7, that's a win. Because new quarterback, probably significant changes to your defensive coaching staff.
Yeah.
Probably significant turnover on your defensive personnel and going into a new league. And, Will, I think what you're saying is spot on because I've talked to coaches when they go into a new environment and they're playing teams for the first time and they go into a new conference. It's not easy for a team. And so I honestly think that if they go 5-7 next year, that's actually a pretty good season, all things considering, because if this team – you know, if Hall comes back, then I will change that opinion dramatically. But a new quarterback in a new conference with probably significant turnover on the defensive side of the ball in a very offensive-driven league, that could be a real big problem for BYU next year.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to definitely, you know, cause some concern, right? It's going to cause concern, and I think you're right. 5-7 would be a great league, and 6-6 would be exceptional.
Yep.
Right? That would be exceptional, going to the bowl. Obviously, the schedule's not out, so I'm really interested to see how that schedule drops for BYU next year.
Mock schedule. I put together a...
Yeah.
Did you see that Big 12 mock schedule I put together?
No. I would love to see it, though.
Let me see if I can pull it
you
up.
You probably didn't send it to me. But regardless, my expectation is I expect Cam Rising to stay at Utah. I expect... Jaren Hall to step out and test his water, test his skill set, and his talents take them to the NFL. And so for spring ball, I expect BYU to be, you know, Conover will be taking those reps. You've got the young kid, Ryder Burton, coming from Springville. You've also got the Hagen.
Is he a Mission kid?
No, he's not.
Okay.
And then you also have Cole Hagen, who's back from his Mission, the standout from Corner Canyon. Obviously, his younger brother signed with BYU last year. Cole has gotten back from his Mission. He was committed to go to Harvard and made the change to BYU. And I think he's going to surprise some people with his athletic ability. And
does Harvard offer full rides? Or
no,
do you have
they
to
don't.
Pay?
No. Well, they're not full rides. But there are. It's a different deal. It's too long for me to explain that. But at the end of the day, I think that BYU is they have an uphill battle. But they're built for that, and Kalani's built for that. He's built tough. People don't realize that Kalani.
Oh, yeah.
They don't understand how tough he is.
Oh, he's not going to crumble.
He won't crumble. Mm-hmm. He'll fight, and he'll do the best by the guys that he has on his roster and the guys that he has on his coaching staff.
And he will make changes. We saw with the offense.
Yeah,
those guys were important people to him.
Oh.
Marino Mahe, Tavito Fungawe, Ty Detmer, Mike Impey.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys were important to him.
Ben Very Cahoon.
And Ben Cahoon, good.
Yeah.
I think
and
he
to make the wholesale change, how hard do you think that was on him?
Hard. And changes that he would have to make this year, if he does make them, if he feels that they're needed, will be excruciating. It'll be very hard for him, but he'll do what's best for the school and the program and the kids.
All he has to do is take a look at how long Kyle Whittingham has survived and how many changes Kyle's had to make. Not as many on the defensive side,
but a lot on the offensive side.
But a ton on the offensive side.
Yeah, quite
there was
few.
An 8-year period that we had 6 different offensive coordinators roll through the University of Utah. It was heavy.
Yeah, really interesting times. And Kyle, he was going to get what he wanted, and it seems like he's done that now. And so it's, you know, there's a lot of questions in Provo. But as far as let's talk about Utah Tech, let's talk about this game, what's going to happen. Obviously, BYU is hoping it's going to be a day to be able to get all their seniors in and really let them play all these guys on the list. get, you know, so they can go out and really show what they can do in front of the home crowd for that one last time. Utah Tech is playing good football right now. They really are. They'll run it at you. They've got a dangerous receiver out there. He's an all-time leading receiver now at Utah Tech. His name is slipping my mind right now. I'm sure you guys can look it up. It's been a crazy situation at Utah Tech because they've played three quarterbacks all year. So there's been injuries, and then they were rotating.
Played them in a rotator because of injury?
Yeah, they were rotating three quarterbacks, basically. Boone Abbott being one from American Fork. He came in and got the start against a couple weeks ago, and he got injured. And then they went with the quarterback who was starting from the beginning, and he's played really well. They've rolled off three wins in a row, and it seems like Coach Peterson's got them rolling in a good direction. They play
this receiver, by the way, Joey Hobert,
yes.
Holy smokes. Mm-hmm. He's putting up some numbers.
Where's he from? Is he a Utah guy?
No, he's got
I think that is in his
California.
Father is
say it's Billy Joe.
It is Billy Joe.
No, really?
Yeah. So this guy's
his
real,
dad is Billy Joe Hobert?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And he's from San Clemente, California. High school, San Juan Hills.
Kid can play. So he's dangerous. And one of the things I like about Utah Tech is they play in a really aggressive style of defense. So they play a lot of man coverage, a lot of cover zero. So it should be a day for BYU's receiver.
They'll have to change that up on Puka.
Yeah. I don't know if they will. Maybe they will. They'll probably bracket him, I'm sure.
You'd probably bracket him off, man.
But their DB coaches down there are pretty aggressive guys. It's a great staff. The assistant DC is a gentleman, a Utah guy. He just came from Virginia. He was on Broncos staff.
Okay.
Then you have Michael Smith, who has a back end. He's a BYU guy, trained under Coach Lamb and Gennaro. So it's a good staff, and obviously Coach Peterson is a good coach. He has a good time. So it should be fun because of the type of offense they play.
His journey's out of snow, isn't it?
Yeah, out of snow. Yeah, that's where they got him.
Joey Hobert hands 79 catches, 1,200 yards, 14 touchdowns.
Yeah.
It's a great year.
It's a pretty good year.
Yeah. What did you say the completion percentage is on that quarterback?
The guy that's been playing over the last three games is Victor Gabalis. Mm-hmm. And I don't have his percentage. He's 23 of 35 three games ago, 24 of 36, 22 of 36. So that's plus 60%. For 1,200 yards, 12 touchdowns, and only one interception.
So the thing, and he's really played well these last three games. Early in the season, he was struggling, throwing a lot of picks, actually a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see. BYU has not been known for the back end to be getting interceptions. It's been a big concern, right? The corners haven't had interception, and I don't know. I think hasn't been a corner interception for several years, a couple years, two, 3 years. They've come from the backers and the safeties. I really want to see these corners challenge these players this week and get some interceptions, turn the ball over, and get after the quarterback because this quarterback will turn it over.
Hans and Scotty, one final segment coming up next. Will Snowden's hanging out with us. It's all right here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
After a blowout victory against Stanford.
Time for some football, baby!
The Utes are ready to punch their ticket to another Pac-12 title game. But standing in their way is the Oregon Ducks.
Intercepted!
We're looking for some revenge after two blowout losses to the Utes last year. Listen all week long as the Utes prepare for the trip to Eugene for an epic showdown against the Ducks.
We ain't gonna stop being aggressive.
Then catch the Ute pregame show presented by Zion's Back with the postgame show immediately following the game. Your home for the best coverage of Utah football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Wrapping up another edition of the show, Hans and Scotty, your Cougar Preview Show. Second to last game of the year for BYU as they take on Utah Tech. Will Snowden's hanging out with us for a couple more minutes. Will, write the script. How does this thing play out on Saturday?
I think it's going to be a day that BYU will show up, play really well, dominate the game, score quite a few points. I think the defense is going to be dominant, and I think that I'm going to go with something like, Kalani's a very honorable man, I'm going to go with 55-7.
So you don't agree with this tweet? Seen most of BYU and Utah Tech games this year, it won't be the beating that you think.
No,
35-17.
No, they're going to beat them royally. But now listen, you're still managing a lot of young players. These are still young coaches. Young players that you're coaching. If BYU comes out focused, they will. The trench, they should dominate the trench. And I expect them to dominate the trench on the offense and defensive side of the ball. So it's going to be hard for Utah Tech to stay in the game.
Still expecting that offensive line to turn it on. Hey, one thing really quick. A couple of championship games going on this weekend.
Let's discuss them real quick.
These are big time.
As big as they get.
Sky Ridge, Corner Canyon.
Yes.
And Lehigh versus Tempview.
In this game, gentlemen, and I'm going to talk for 22 seconds. In this game, there's so much to see. I hope that everyone listening will come out and watch these games. There's so much talent on these four teams.
In those four teams, how many Division I players do you think there are?
30.
Jeez.
It's a lot.
That's crazy.
It's a lot of talent.
Scotty, you know this state better than I do. There was a time when this state was only putting out, five or six?
Well, yeah, I remember I talked to Steve Tate, and he was, 2004? No, he was before that. Probably 2001, 2002. He said I was one of, four Division I athletes that year.
Yeah, it's going to be an entertaining game. You're going to see three for sure D1 quarterbacks already committed.
Offered?
No, two are committed. You have Jackson Brousseau committed to Colorado State.
That's right.
You have McKay Hillstead committed to Utah State, the Aggies. Then you have.
By the way, they are fired up about that.
Are they?
Oh, man. Oh my gosh!
Oh, he's a future.
Yeah.
He's a big deal. And then you have the
Wilson kid,
the young Wilson, right? Yeah. Isaac Wilson. He's the toast of the town, right? So just watching the kid throw the ball is like fine wine. I don't know how people make wine. You have to sit it for a long time. Is that what they do?
Yeah,
with wine?
It sits for a while.
Don't know. I've never heard of it.
But I will tell you this: it's an exciting day. a lot of talent on all four teams. I'm going to go with these victories. I'm going to say it. I'm going with Lehigh. Lehigh's going to win a barn burner. It's going to be a great game.
You're saying that because your nephew's on it.
Yeah. I do love my nephew, and I love a lot of those kids. I love – and the Tempview kids, too. But I would be nice, as I'm a Lehigh guy, I live in Lehigh. I love both programs, led by exceptional coaches. Obviously, you have a legendary coach at Lehigh. He's done everything so perfectly. He's won a lot of games. What can you say? He's done a great job there. So I think he's going to get another championship this year, back-to-back, and then I think that Sky Ridge, led by John Lehman, who's been to his third championship game at Sky Ridge. He also, when he was coaching at American Fork, I think he went twice. So he's had some shots at it, and he's due this year, and I feel like Sky Ridge will win that game. So I'm going with Lehigh. The 5A is going to be won. The 5A and 6A will be won by the county, by Lehigh.
I do want to shout
out Sky Ridge Lehigh.
One of our other brothers, Donnie Atawaya.
Oh, yeah? Oh, man, and thinking about Donnie, first year, he's done an exceptional job. His team's going to be physical. It's going to be it's a lot to talk about. It's going to be exciting. But
it's a bit of an overload.
I'm going to say Lehigh is going to pull it off.
Well, that wraps it up for us. Live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. Rich has been kind enough to hang out with us. And somebody comes in and says, hey, Rich, I want that new Altima. I want that all-wheel drive with a sedan. Cuts through that Utah snow. Can I make my first payment in January? Your answer to that is?
Of course. Maybe you want it in February. Or talk to me about March. What's best for you? Because we like
now
options.
Now we're talking.
Wait.
So
were you talking about payments?
Yeah.
Until February or March?
Yeah.
That'd be nice to get through the holidays.
Yeah, it would. Oh,
wouldn't that be nice? That way you don't have all that stress in January. I already got taxes to deal with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's just get through a couple months where we take it easy on you.
I agree with you.
But also, for folks coming in right now, we are on the Toys for Tots program. That's something we do every year here at Tim Valley Nissan and Murray. And if you have toys that you want to drop off for the kids, please bring them down. We'll let you take a look at the cars, too. Okay, but we always want to take care of the kids.
That's so
this
nice.
Time of the year.
You always appreciate
we do
that.
Tens of thousands of dollars worth of toys for the kids.
And
we do it every year.
Especially nowadays, a lot of people are in need of that. You got a great used inventory. You got the new inventory. Things are loosening up. You got more cars on the lot than ever before.
More cars than ever before. I have 2.25% financing, so I'm beating the local credit unions, which are wonderful. We love them. But because you're buying a new car, you get that special rate going on and a terrific deal on a car. Whether it's Rogues, Frontiers, Pathfinders, Armadas, Titans, Sentries, or Ultimas, whatever we got, you name it, I have kicks too.
There you go.
You
love it, man.
And don't forget the kicks.
Well, hey, we appreciate it. You're the best, man. Thanks for letting us hang out here today.
Thank you.
Rich, thank
you. Love you guys.
Love being here.
Rich is the man. He will get you squared away, whatever you need. It's all right here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.